Okay, good morning, and thanks for coming. The title of my talk, which I hope will be really a background for the talks to follow, set the stage, for the prevalence of chlamydia in adolescents and young adults in correctional facilities throughout the United States, national and local data. And Farah Parvez is a co-author of this presentation and helped me with it, but unfortunately she was not able to attend the meeting and help me present. But I do appreciate her assistance with this. Many of you may have seen the recent Pew report, which stated that 2.3 million persons are incarcerated currently in the United States, 1.6 million in prisons, and over 700,000 in jails. Incarcerated persons are particularly high risk for STD infections. They report multiple sexual partners, they report unprotected sex, inconsistent condom use, that often have a history of substance abuse, commercial sex work, and they report difficulty accessing health care. Persons entering jails or juvenile detention facilities are usually waiting for trial, charged with minor crimes, or sentenced to less than 1 year. And that's the population that I'm going to be focusing on in this presentation. This shows some data from the Bureau of Justice Statistics, showing the increasing number of jail inmates over time, both men and women. So this is an increasing population. It's also one with increasing racial disparities. And you can see the much higher rate of African Americans who are incarcerated compared to Hispanics and whites. And this disparity only seems to be getting greater, at least according to these statistics. But the CDC Corrections Prevalence Monitoring Project has two objectives: to assess the prevalence of STDs in persons entering jails and juvenile correctional facilities, and to monitor trends in STD prevalence in persons entering jails. And I'm going to focus today on the prevalence of chlamydia in jails and juvenile correctional facilities. So these results are based on data from incoming arrestees who are screened for STDs. Screening takes place during the intake process, usually, but not always. And screening criteria by facility may vary. Sometimes it's universal, males and females. Sometimes it may be selective, women only, and sometimes there are age restrictions. In 2006, 35 states submitted data. Over 172,000 chlamydia tests were reported from 140 juvenile and 100 adult facilities for chlamydia. 32% of the correctional facilities submitted data on STD symptom status. I'll show that here. So keep in mind, this is data just from about 32% of all the all persons. And what I think this is most striking is that the symptomatic persons are really in the minority. About 9% of adolescent women have symptoms. About 5% of adolescent men have symptoms of chlamydia. The vast majority of these populations are asymptomatic. These are juvenile correctional facilities. Now, when you look at adult correctional facilities, you see pretty much the same thing, maybe slightly higher percentage of those with symptoms. 14% for adult women, 17% for adult men. Now, this looks at the age distribution of chlamydia in both men and women. I'm going to point out a couple of things. These are, first of all, this is juvenile correctional facilities now. The prevalence of chlamydia among women is strikingly high, and it's high across all ages in this category, from 13 to 18, with an overall prevalence of 14.3%. We don't see any changes with age in these young women. Men, on the other hand, or adolescents, we see an increasing prevalence with age in this group, with an overall prevalence of 6.4%. But the highest prevalence are in older ages. When we go to adult correctional facilities, we see a slightly different pattern. In women, we see decreasing prevalence with age, which is what we commonly see. And what's most striking, I think, is this prevalence right here of 19% in those younger than age 20. These are adult correctional facilities, but these are nevertheless women who are under the age of 20. This is the highest prevalence we really see anywhere. It remains high, really up through the age of 30, 34. This is the highest risk. In men, we see a similar pattern, decreasing prevalence with age, with the highest prevalence here also in this less than 20, less than 25 year age. The overall prevalence here is 7.5% and 9.3%. But this 19.1, I can't help but come back to, is higher than any of the prevalence that we even saw in juvenile pregnancy. This is some of the data we present in the the CDC STD surveillance reports. I know it's impossible to see, but I mainly just want to get across the number of states that report these kind of data to us. Large number of facilities, and the number of facilities vary by state, the number of tests. Now, we limit the data we present by those who submit 100 or more tests, but nevertheless, there's huge variation in the number of tests that are submitted from each facility. And even though the prevalence overall, these are, again, in juvenile correctional facilities, is about 5.3%, 14.2% for women, prevalence really varies considerably. If we look at adults, we see something similar. Many variation in number of tests, and large variation in median positivity, 8.9 overall, though, for men, and 8.5 for women. But we were searching for a way we might graphically display this kind of variability, both by the number of sites, by the number of facilities that's in the data, the variation in prevalence, and also the variation in just the number of tests that are submitted. So with help, this is actually impressed right now in STD with lead author of Ridwan Joseph, but with help also from Micah Samuel and Joan Cowan, California, Charlotte Kent, Maya Sternberg at CDC, we came up with this graphical display, this bubble chart, really, with each bubble, so to speak, representing one correctional facility, with the size of the bubble being relatively proportional to the number of tests submitted from that site. And you can see this is overall data among males entering juvenile correctional facilities. Males and females, I'm sorry. But you can see this, and the dotted line or the solid line are the medians. But the point is, you're also able to tell how much variation there is, and whether those sites that are largest hover closer to the median or are outliers. So it gives you much more information than simply a median or simply a listing. Another point I want to make about this is consistently, by age, you see, again, the same pattern with median prevalence among women being much higher than that among males. And that's regardless of age. Again, you can see this variation. So we do tend to see some of the larger clinics hovering around. This is the same thing just for adults. No pattern. Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about data from New York City that was, as I said, provided by Farah Parvez. This is chlamydia and gonorrhea prevalence from the Department of Juvenile Justice in New York City. And as you can see, not unlike the data at the national level, prevalence for chlamydia among males substantial, much higher in women, and maybe even higher, somewhat higher than that what we see in juvenile corrections at the national level. Gonorrhea, I didn't present data for that at the national level, but quite high, especially in women. This is juvenile correctional. Now, in jails in New York City, there's been an ongoing screening program for women. Women are offered urine or swab-based chlamydia and gonorrhea testing at intake. And for 2005 to 2007, over 25,000 women of all ages, the majority older than age 18, were tested. Overall, 6.3% were positive for one infection or another, 4.5% chlamydia only, 1.2% gonorrhea, and about 0.5% had both infections. Keep in mind, these are adult women, many of whom were but older than age 30. 39% were discharged prior to treatment, and 59% were treated prior to release. Now, testing for males was implemented in 2005 in the New York City jails after an earlier pilot. So for fiscal years, for calendar years rather, 2005 to 2007, 124,000 men, mostly older than 18, and less than or equal to 35, were tested. Now in this group, almost 12,000, or 9.6%, were positive for infection, 8.4% for chlamydia only, less than a percent for gonorrhea, and about 0.5% with co-infection. 28% were discharged prior to treatment, 71% were treated prior to release. So a substantial prevalence of chlamydia in this population, age 18 to 35, of men in New York City jails. But this is data, this is case report data from New York City by provider type from 2004 to 2006. And keep in mind, the program for screening men started in 2005. You can see it remained fairly stable. The number of reports of chlamydia in STD clinics, it went up somewhat in 2006. In the private sector, there's been a slight increase over time. In jails, where there was no private previous program for screening men, was so obviously very few infections, but just jumped up with the advent of screening programs. New York City jails, both 2005 and 2006. So correspondingly, when you look at the trend data for reported cases of chlamydia in New York City, you see something like this. Now in the yellow, this is gonorrhea for the same time period in New York City, 1995 to 2007. For chlamydia, on the other hand, these are male chlamydia cases, there was a gradual increase, but in 2005, with the advent of the screening program, you see this trajectory up like this. So there was an upward swing, but the slope increased tremendously with that screening program. So in conclusion, SB screening and standardized data collection is feasible in many correctional facilities. STD prevalence is high in adolescents and young women. It's also high in older adolescents and young men. Most chlamydial infections are asymptomatic in men and women entering correctional facilities. Chlamydia screening and treatment should be a part of medical services in correctional facilities to interrupt and prevent disease transmission to the community. This is a public health issue. The vast majority of people return to the community in very short order. Priority for chlamydia screening and treatment should be given to adolescents and young women less than 26 years old. But consideration should also be given to screening older adolescents and young men in these populations. And I'd finally like to thank many members of the STD Corrections Prevalence Monitoring Group, Ridwan Joseph, Charlotte Kent, Joan Chow, Michael Samuel, Maya Sternberg, and Cassie Hutchins. Thank you.